Thanks, Steve. Well, I want to reiterate from Brian's comments about children. We do love children here, and we're excited that God is blessing us. But I have to say this. I don't know if you connected the dots, but Pete and Heather have been here a few months, but Pete came because he's in the Navy, and he's down at the Navy Yard. Did you catch little Claire's outfit? Huh? That was so special. That is so cool. And we want to continue to pray for, you know, we got Tracy and Brittany who are carrying little ones within the womb. And we want to continue that prayer as well. And Jess. Oh, she's carrying two. That's right. Sorry, Jess. Yeah, exactly. So we got four little ones coming. We want to pray for health and just God would knit them together so perfectly. Well, we're going to conclude our study of Habakkuk. Now, let me just say this. I've spent some time studying this. It's what's nice about the teaching team. I get to teach maybe every 6-7 weeks. So I get a lot of time to study my one passage. And with all the tools that God has gifted us with and tremendous commentaries, and I'm learning to use the computer more. I checked out, I have an app that any word in the scriptures can give me exactly how to pronounce it in the Hebrew, if you're in the Old Testament, and Greek in the New Testament. So the guys have been having fun, Brian and Scott, with Habakkuk's name. I grew up learning it to pronounce it Habakkuk. Some of us are saying it's Habakkuk. Well, I listened to it in Hebrew. And here's what it says, and I spelled it out phonetically. Habakkuk. But as I've got to know Habakkuk, and his name means embrace, I feel close to him now, so I'm calling him Hab. Okay? And Hab has a lot for us to learn. Pastor Brian did chapter 1. Last week, Scott did 2. And I'm finishing up with 3. And I want to ask this question. From chapter 1, how do we go from interrogation of God to intercession with God? How do we go from complaining to God with confidence in God? Chapter 1, worry. Chapter 3, faith. How do we go from terror to trust, heaviness to hope, anxiousness to adoration? And I hopefully, as we finish chapter 3, I'm going to give you some answers for that. I did some observations. And in chapter 1, if you count the number of verses that Hap has, it's 9. The Lord has 7. When you go to 2, Hap has 2. The Lord has 18. When you go to chapter 3 today, Hap has 19. The Lord doesn't speak. And hopefully we can find that why. I think it's so relevant for our day today, and Pastor Brian talked about this. Chapter 1, Habakkuk, who loves his country, Israel, looks around and says, wow, we are a disobedient nation. I can relate to that. I look around at my country, whom I love, and I'm very saddened by the sinfulness of this nation. So Habakkuk, you know, he begins to complain. Lord, how come you're not doing anything? Punish those people of injustice, his own people. Then when God tells him, I am going to punish them, and I'm going to use Babylon to do it. Whoa, wait a minute, not Babylon. They're wicked people, more than us. Yeah, but that's what I'm going to do. It's almost like, trying to put us in perspective here, Lord, and I pray this, and our small group prays this, Lord, cause a repentance and a cleansing of our nation. What if God decided to use North Korea to cleanse us? How would we like that? But that's the predicament that Habakkuk finds himself in. And I want to make the connection here. From 1 to 3, there's a huge change. God wants us to be about transformation. Hap had worry, anxiousness. God, are you doing anything? Have mercy on us. There's some things in chapter 1 that Habakkuk says that are out and out wrong. And God is so gracious to him. It changes, and I just want to make a little summary from last week with Scott. Chapter 1, when God speaks, he says, now I want you to write this down and I want you to watch. Chapter 2 starts out this, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the rampart, which is a battle term. So, what he's experiencing in chapter 1 and what God tells him in chapter 1, he obeys in chapter 2. And when God speaks, God says to him, Hap, don't you understand? Those who follow me, the Lord God of the universe, need to trust me because the righteous will live by faith. I believe in something I cannot see. I believe in something that I don't know what's going to happen in the future. So I want you to read with me, if you have your Bibles or your devices, we're going to read right through chapter 3. Most of the chapter deals with past things that Habakkuk is praising God for. Then he kind of gets into the present a little bit, and you'll see that. And then even the future, where he begins to put his hope in. All right, let's read this. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Sinigoth. Now, this is a musical term. If you get to the very end of it, it ends with a musical idea that chances are, and as I've studied here, most of the scholars believe that Habakkuk served, because he was a Levite, served as a musician in the temple. So this is a song that he probably wrote out of his heart and what God is doing in his heart. So let me read this. Verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy, because God says, I am going to judge. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Now, this is probably the whole area when God rescued them from Egypt and they wandered for 40 years. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. How many of us here want to see that now in our time? His splendor was like sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went forth from him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. Excuse me. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. This is what God did in the past. Are you thinking some of the stories that this happened? And a lot of it was the 40 years in the wilderness. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was the wrath against the streams? No, I use nature to pour out my wrath. Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You covered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. We got arrows again. God's going forth, and he's punishing people who deserve it. And he's done that in the past. The mountain saw you writhe. And the mountain saw you and writhed, scared. Torrents of water swept by the deep, and the deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens, and the glint of your flying arrows at the lightning of your flashing spear, Sodom and Gomorrah. Pow! In wrath, he strode through the earth, and in anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the leader of the land of the wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head. God did that so many times where the armies that were coming against Israel started to kill each other out of fright. Verse 15, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waves and the waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet, I will patiently wait for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading. There is a day coming when God will wipe all this evil from the world. My heart wants to say, now! But God has a plan far beyond me. Lest I would complain, as in chapter 1, and tell God what he should do. I need to be able to trust and wait on a God who does everything right. So then, when my heart understands and really believes this, this is how I can respond. Though the fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there's no food in the cabinet, or I don't have a job, or there's no gas for the car, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Present tense. I will be joyful to God my Savior. And why is this? Because he recognized the sovereign Lord is my strength. Oh, that we would believe God is totally sovereign, in control of everything. You know, I think about that, and I've done this before. Do you and I believe, with the 8 billion people on the earth today, let alone all those who came before them, that God says before the foundation of the earth, I knew each and every one of you? 8 billion people now who are having all kinds of thoughts, and God says, I know each and every thought that you have. Does that make your head smoke? Do I believe that? I want to tell you, I am striving to believe that. I want a God who is that powerful. Do you? So that when trouble comes, I can take my stand. He's my rock. I will not move. He is my anchor, and it's sure. Brothers and sisters, how are we able to have that type of faith in our lives? It seems fairly simple, most difficult to do. In our Bible study, the comment was made, that's really hard to do. We were learning about Job and how he responded. That's impossible to do. That's what we need to understand. I cannot have faith, righteous faith, to trust in God unless I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to fully lead me. We sang about today, till I embrace surrender. That's what you and I need to do. But I'm surrendering to a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. Nothing gets by him. We've said this before. God doesn't look at an hour ago and say, oh, I missed that. I wish I'd have been on top of that situation. He's always on top. And I'll tell you, as I was studying this, I could not help of the things that our people have gone through and are going through in this last year. Tough, hard stuff. And if we move to that place where we don't trust, then complaining will come in. Then we'll start to dictate to God what he should do. Oh, that we would never do that. To think a puny human like me could dictate to God what he should do in my life. I'm foolish. I want to come to a God who is so powerful and so good that he has my life planned out so that, and here's the key, so that I can live to give him glory. You and I have to ask ourselves, why am I here on this earth? What am I living for? And we can be honest here, because I don't always live for God's glory. But if we live for anything less than God's glory, I'm missing out on the fullness of life. Because in him, I'm made complete. So that when we encounter hard stuff, and it's okay to ask why. The ever-present why, Lord, needs to be conquered with the everlasting who. My God is from beginning to the end. He has no end, no beginning. From everlasting to everlasting. And he's going to make it right. And Habakkuk in chapter 3 now believes that. And it's changed him. I want to show you a video, and then I'm going to share some things about it. Even this week, I just think it's so apropos of God. In our Saturday Bible study, we're in the 5th chapter of Job. And Eliphaz, a friend, but what he's telling Job isn't that nice. But here's the truth that he tells him. Man is born for trouble as fire sparks fly upward. That's true. Life is hard because of the sin that was started in the Garden of Eden. But God has a plan for that. That sin which separated us from God and brought hardship because now my sinful heart, I choose not to believe in God. I choose to go away from God. He has provided a way that I can come back to him, the safest, most powerful, satisfying place in the universe is in his arms. And the cross has provided a way back. Habakkuk's complaint was, God, be merciful in your wrath. God was merciful. You and I deserve death, separation from God forever. And he said, I will make a plan that you don't have to be separated from me forever. And that plan will be, sin will have to be paid for because he's a righteous judge. But I will send my son, who is perfect and sinless, and die in your place and my place. And if your heart is open to that, you cannot say anything but hallelujah. What a God we have, that he would die for me, stinking me, righteous him. So that the scripture tells us, now sin came upon him so that his righteousness would come upon me. some ties as we conclude here. First of all, Hurricane 5. They were trying to get information how to be able to warn people about it. So their mission was good. 5 is called the finger of God. Do any of us feel like the storms of life is like that? And did you hear what he shouted out? Hold on! Now what they held on to was called a well casing. That wasn't kind of, you know, exemplified in the movie. But that well casing, chances are, goes down at least 200 feet. Rock solid to get water. It's the well casing that really kept them secure. What's the analogy? Christ is our well casing. But the illustration falls a little bit because they had leather straps wrapped around the well casing wrapped around them. In reality, when you and I surrender our lives to God and we say, whatever you want to do with me, if I can bring you glory, I'm in. Then we're not only tied to the well casing has arms and wraps them around me and will not let me go. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Simple verse in Hebrews, but if I believe it, oh, the strength that I have. It's powerful. Powerful. Let me just read two verses of an old song. You'll probably recognize it. Some of you will. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay surrender. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, we believe who you tell us you are in the Bible. Magnificent, glorious, powerful. And you have a plan for our lives. And that's where the rub comes. At times, Lord, we don't like it. We want it now, not later. We don't want to wait. You say wait. And we want to believe as we wait, as we pray, as we live a life of godliness through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will use us for your glory. Help us to say yes to that. Help us not to fear that. At times it hurts. Your grace is sufficient for those times. Oh, that we would cling to you. And you know, Lord, you tell us, I will uphold you with my right hand. May we believe that. May we follow you. May we trust you and obey anything you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.